ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday, November 24th, 2017 edition of the Hagmann Report, this day after Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday, got to eat a lot of food, spend time with your family. I know here in the Hagmann Studios, we all had a great Thanksgiving, and we're looking forward to a fantastic weekend. We got an awesome show for you tonight. We are going to be joined by the whole Brewer crew. Dr. Ted Brewer will be with us from 7 to 9 p.m., as well as Austin Brewer, 9 to 9:30, and Sharon Brewer is going to take us out from 9:30 to 10. We're going to get into a number of topics from news and current events to health and wellness, and it's going to be a fantastic show. A couple of quick news items before we bring Dr. Ted on. One, we have a devastating terrorist attack in Egypt, in the deadliest ever attack by Islamic extremists in Egypt. Militants assaulted a crowded mosque Friday during prayers, blasting helpless worshippers with gunfire and rocket-propelled grenades, blocking their escape routes. At least 235 people were killed before the assailants got away. Hundreds more were injured. And again, the deadliest attack in modern Egyptian history. Mosque, terrible situation there, as we have seen the calls by ISIS and other Islamic militants to attack places of worship, to attack shopping malls and other places where many people gather, and they will use guns, they will use explosives, they will use vehicles. And as we enter this Black Friday today, shopping season, keep your eyes open, because this is in Egypt. I do expect to see other terror attacks that are taking place in the West. There was a scare in London today as hundreds of people were evacuated from an underground train station, and it seems to have been a false alarm, but it seems as though many people are on alert, and these terror attacks obviously are horrible but do continue to be perpetrated by the Islamic State.
Indeed. You know, it's a different world out there. Unprecedented, of course, is the word that keeps coming up over and over and over again. I do want to mention that one of the domestic headlines, of course, is Fusion GPS.
Yeah.
Behind the firm that's behind the dubious Trump-Russia dossier paid multiple journalists for work. Now,
at least three, no names. Yeah,
right. But I'm going to tell you something, all right? And this is a shameless self-promotional plug for my morning show. I'd gone over this days ago. Now it's breaking. I'm going to tell you something. And I would urge everyone, please listen to my morning show today, specifically today, because at the heart of this is a coup. We are watching. This is exactly what a coup looks like. In fact, that's the title of my show this morning. So, look, here's the deal. We are witnessing history unfold before our very eyes. And behind it is the communist and even the communist Islamic element. But for sure the communist, the architecture of this global government, the push toward global governance. So that said, I also want to make sure that you also tune into Joe and John's show as well. But this is cutting edge content. And if I may say so myself, both programs cover different ground, but they're very incisive in terms of the content. And of course, now tonight is our flagship program, but you've got 5 hours of radio, 5 days a week, 9 to 10, Doug Hagmann Radio Show. 2 to 3, John and Joe and the Hagmann Daily Show, and of course, the flagship program.
And we're going to bring Dr. Ted Brewer on in just a second. Want to announce a huge sale by Greenovative. The Greenovative Power Cell makes power anytime, anywhere, in any weather, day or night. Greenovative is offering a huge discount, for Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and Cyber Monday, a five-day sale. You can get 30% discounts off individual items in the entire store using the promo code Hagman. The holiday super sales for loyal Hagman listeners started last night, and it runs until Monday at midnight. So make sure, in any order you get by December 10th, will be delivered before Christmas. The mission packs are now 30% off, as well as all other individual items in the store by going to greenovative.com and using promo code Hagman. Also, tonight's guest, Dr. Ted Brewer, is running his biggest sale of the year. As always, it is promo code Doug5. And if you go to the HagmanReport.com, HagmanReport.com, there you click on tonight's show. You can see the details there. The special offer by HealthMasters for listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report is this special is good by tonight, 7 p.m., until Monday night on the 27th. It's a 5% discount for all HealthMasters products, and you orders over $500 will receive 3 books, and that is over a $95 value, including Sharon Brewer's just released recipe book, Eat Clean and Be Healthy.
You know, I was talking to Ted earlier today. I've got to tell you, with the sale that he's got on, this is, to me, the biggest sale of the year. You're talking bundles and packages that get the 5% off. You know what? If you take multiple vitamins out there or supplements, if you don't order from HealthMasters between now and Monday at midnight, man, we can't help you, because this is the biggest, and I mean the biggest promotional sale ever. In the margin, you can't get any, you just cannot, unless Dr. Brewer is going to give the products away, you cannot get any better than this. I just want to drive that point home. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be ordering as well this weekend from HealthMasters. And I would urge everyone to do so.
All right. With that, let's bring Dr. Ted Brewer on. Dr. Ted, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
Oh, hey, Joe. Hey, Doug. Also, I want to plug Sharon for just a second. At 9:30, she's coming on tonight, Eastern Standard Time, last half hour of the show. She's going to be talking to women tonight about hair loss and about wrinkles. A lot of women have problems with hair loss, with, you know, female pattern balding, and she wants to go into that in detail and what you can do to help stop hair loss, plus what you can do to help eliminate fine line wrinkles and make your skin look really, really good and really, really young. It's so funny, every time we go somewhere and Sharon's all dressed up, and I'm just kind of, I don't really dress up much unless I'm doing a seminar or whatever. People are always asking me, you know, did you rob the cradle, or is this your wife, or is this your daughter? It just goes on and on. And I just laugh, and I go, yeah, absolutely, this is my wife, and, you know, I pulled a Donald Trump on this one. And, of course, that's not simply, I tell them immediately, though, that we've been married already for 33 years, and Sharon is 60 years old, and I'm 62 years old. So it makes a, you know, huge difference as far as when you take care of your body internally and externally. Also, I want to talk about Egypt for just a second, Doug. I didn't know you were going to bring that story up. I've been to Egypt. I mean, I've crawled down inside of the Great Pyramid personally with Austin into the King's Chamber down there where that big sarcophagus was supposedly kept, but I don't think it was ever used. And Egypt was a relatively prosperous country along with Libya until we, the United States, got involved with our little allies to go over there and wreck the economy and wreck the country because they didn't want to basically comply with the international banking cartel's requirement of putting a central bank into their country, and they want to start trading oil for gold. And there's a lot of other factors, too. There's just a few. But Egypt has always been a volatile country, Doug and Joe, but the reality is it was also one of the most prosperous countries in Africa. South Africa, Egypt, and Libya were the three that would have been okay if you had gone to those. Now, the tourism in Egypt has completely collapsed. People are scared to go there any longer simply because of the terrorism that's going on there and the lack of proper control in that country. Let me tell you one of my stories. We actually got – it's funny now, but it's been 20 years ago. Austin was with us. He was like – I think Austin was 10, so it was like 19 years ago. And we went to Egypt. And we were walking around the Great Pyramids, and we actually were coming out of the Great Pyramid. We had crawled down inside of the Great Pyramid, and three camel guys came up to us with camels and said, would you like to have a ride on camels out into the desert, and we can take a Christmas photo for you for your Christmas cards, and we'll take pictures of you while you're in the desert with the pyramids in the background. And these pyramids are huge, 50, 60 stories tall, so you have to get way out into the desert to get all three of these pyramids into the picture. And so I said, sure. I said, well, how much is it going to cost? And the guy said, this is a few dollars. And I said, well, no, I need to have a number. No, it's just a few dollars. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I said, well, so we hopped on the pyramids, and I hopped on the camels, and we took off. And sure enough, they took us miles out into the desert. Now, luckily, and by the grace of God, there was a access road by the pyramids. In fact, if you look at Google Earth, you'll see that access road. It's on the side of the pyramids, and it followed way out into the desert. And we had the guy who was in the taxi that we had hired from the port of Alexandria who drove us there. He basically had followed us out into the desert because he knew we had gotten ourselves into trouble. And when we got out into the desert, sure enough, the guy took some pictures for me and Sharon and Austin. And then he immediately said to me, and we had some other friends with us also in the taxi. It was like a Ford Escort station wagon, like a 3 or 4 hour drive from the port of Alexandria out to the Cairo, to the pyramids. And it was so funny, Doug and Joe. We were out in the desert. He took a few photos, and then he says, okay, you owe me money now. I said, okay. I said, how much? Oh, yeah, I was figuring it was going to be, you know, 10, 15 bucks a piece or whatever, which is very good money for those guys at that time. And he goes, no, you owe us $500 U.S. And I said, oh, $500 U.S. Great. And so we basically, I had left my bags and stuff in the car. So I told him, I said, well, you know, any cash that I have in the car is going to be in the car. So you'll need to take us back to the vehicle. And I showed him where the vehicle was parked. And they took us back into the car to collect their $500. And I looked at the cab driver, who was a Christian. And I said, how much money should I be paying these guys? Because I didn't have $500 in cash with me. I know better than to carry that much cash with you when you're out in the middle of nowhere like that. And the guy said, well, it's like 15 bucks a person, so $50 should be more than enough to cover these guys. And so we quickly took $50 out of the wallet, threw it out the window, and he hit the gas, and we took off. And then we got back to the ship. We were on a cruise, and they had put Egyptian-shouldered soldiers all the way down the ship, about 50 feet apart. It's a 1,000-foot ship, so we probably had 20 to 30 Egyptian-shouldered soldiers actually guarding the ship, Doug and Joe. That's how volatile the situation was back, even back in the 90s there. And then we ended up getting into a huge fight with the guy who had set the cab up for me. And so we ended up having to have security from the ship come and protect us. And it was unbelievable how volatile that place is. And the year before that, a busload of tourists had been bombed in Cairo, you know, visiting the sites. So that place is one of those places that I'm glad I've been, but I have no interest in going back. And now that the government is in shambles over there, it's a very dangerous place to be. So with hundreds of people dying in another bombing, it doesn't surprise me, Doug and Joe.
Obama's legacy, Hillary Clinton's legacy, you know, in Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood. And by the way, when the film comes out, Egyptian Vacation, Chevy Chase, will he be playing you or what?
It'd be me, bud. And then we almost got broadsided by a bus in downtown Cairo. We got to go to the Egyptian museum. I forgot, the National Museum there in Cairo, and got to see King Tut and all the other exhibits they had there from those tombs and all the dead mummies. And then Sharon, I remember, we went upstairs and she had to use the bathroom because, you know, we've been in the car for several hours getting there. And all of a sudden I hear a scream from the bathroom. And basically there was a hole in the floor that you had to use. There wasn't a toilet. And what was also interesting, they did not provide toilet paper. You had to pay for the toilet paper, and Sharon didn't have any Egyptian money. So she's screaming from the doggone bathroom for me to come over there and rescue her and bring her, you know, equivalent of 50 cents in American for toilet paper. So it's an interesting place to go to, buddy. I mean, it's one of those countries that you visit one time and you're like, well, I'm glad I was there and I'm glad I'm gone now. So I don't have any interest in going back to Egypt. And I would have liked to have seen Libya. It was one of the most prosperous countries in Africa. One of the highest standard livings, one of the best educated populace, until, of course, our State Department and the Witch of Benghazi decided to go in there and do what she did, Doug and Joe.
I would love to be able to go to Egypt to see the pyramids and the other biblical sites that are there, but you're right, Ted, with the volatility that's there, with what the Obama administration has done to the rest of the Middle East, it is, you know, you got to be careful if you're going to be traveling over there.
Well, and you know, and we have to give the I call him the Gay Kenyan on my show. We have to give the Gay Kenyan a, you know, a little bit of slack on this. Obama really was just a figurehead. He really didn't have any control of the deep state. The deep state and the CIA run the United States. We all know that. I've talked about that on your show many, many times. And the sad part about it is that's all through the Sabbatean Kabbalists and the international banking community and the D-Wave computer they're trying to tie us into as far as tying us into Lucifer's lair. But I want to read you an article. This is interesting because I talked about this once before on your show, and it just came out. And it says, "The Passion of the Christ star exposes what Hollywood did to punish his faith in God." Actor Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, claimed that his Hollywood career was wrecked after taking the lead role in Mel Gibson's movie. This is a quote by Caviezel. He said, "Suddenly I stopped being one of the most popular actors in the industry, and sadly, I hadn't done anything wrong. I just played Jesus." Caviezel claimed that since 2004, when he did The Passion of the Christ, his offers have dried up, and he is shunned by many within the industry, despite having the film earned more than $600 million. Surprisingly, director Mel Gibson was bashed by the left-wing press for daring to make a major motion picture about the life of Christ, highlighting the fact that Christ is the Lord and the Messiah. The film was despised for its graphic nature, but that's not why they hated him. During the interview, Caviezel said he was warned by Gibson against playing the role since he would never, and he said he would never work in Hollywood again. And well, since then, Caviezel has found it rough landing on a major role in Hollywood, as has Mel Gibson, who now has just received another screen credit going into Daddy's Home 2, which I highly recommend you guys do not watch. I give it a 1-star rating. It is filled with homosexual overtones and absolutely horrible children in that movie. But what I also wanted to talk about was I was at a function one time in Europe, and we were staying at the Westin in Frankfurt, and I met a lady who was with one of the top film distribution companies in Europe. And I specifically asked her, I have her name, I've got the name of the company. If you guys want to call me, I'll be happy to tell you what it is, but I won't broadcast it over the air. And I asked her, I said, "Is it true that you guys told Mel Gibson that if he released The Passion of the Christ, that you would destroy his career?" And she said, "Absolutely yes, we told him that we would destroy him, and we have, and chances are he will never work in Hollywood again." Now, the reason I'm bringing all of this up is this. There's what's called an atavistic hatred towards Christians in Hollywood. Now, I'm going to spell that word because I had to look it up. It's atavistic. It's a great word. It doesn't mean good things, but it's a great word to use because it really explains a lot. That's atavistic. And what that means, that's a generational hatred of all things Christian in Hollywood. That's why Hollywood, you know, is the center of the drugs and center of the hippies and centers of LSD and centers of pornography in the world and centers of basically the filthiest movies you could ever believe and junk that they put out. It's because they have had a hatred of Christians and of Jesus Christ for thousands of years. And that's why it's very difficult on any award show when you go to listen to the award show or even watch it on TV. They really never mention Jesus Christ or Yeshua. They simply don't talk about him very often. Every once in a while they might, and maybe even some of the country awards, but they're very careful not to allow that type of rhetoric, in their opinion, to be used because they absolutely hate Christ. Now, many of these guys actually consider him to have been a demon-possessed sorcerer. And that's what they say, and that's what they believe, and they're incredibly angry at white Christian men and Protestants, and even, and of course, the Catholic Church, for thousands of years of persecution. And so the sad part about this is, Jesus said this very clearly in the book of John, when he called some of these people basically the sons of Lucifer, and also in the book of Revelation, when they're called the synagogue of Satan. So guys, these guys have different belief structures than we do in Hollywood. A lot of them are Luciferians. They believe that Lucifer and Satan are two different individuals, that Lucifer broke off from the Godhead, that he's basically part God, part whatever he is. This is crazy stuff. I don't believe this stuff. This is what they believe. They also believe that Lucifer and Satan are two different individuals, and they believe that they can trace, and the Masonic lodges believe they can trace their lineage all the way back to Cain, and they believe that, in their teachings, they believe that Cain was fathered by Lucifer himself. And so it's some crazy stuff that these guys believe. But this is this deep-seated hatred that a lot of these guys have been taught through Druidic worship, through the worship of fallen angels, through some of the crazy teachings in the Kabbalah, and all of these other things that Hollywood has gotten so involved with, and the international banking community has gotten involved with, especially with the Sabbatean Kabbalists. But these guys who run the planet and who have basically put Egypt in the gutter and put Libya in the gutter, they have done this intentionally, just like they put Jim Caviezel's basically work in the gutter. I mean, when he did the Count of Monte Cristo in 2002, That was an incredible adaptation of that book. Did an excellent job on it. He's probably one of the finest actors that Hollywood's ever produced. But that means nothing to these guys because of their atavistic hatred of Christianity, all things Christians, all things Protestants. And they simply want to have the filthiest, nastiest Hollywood they can ever produce. Last night, Doug and Joe, I was watching TV with Sharon, which I very rarely watch movies that I don't know what they are. I always like to screen them first. And Reese Witherspoon had come out with a movie. It was several years ago, and we always liked her because of that silly movie Legally Blonde that she had done years ago. My wife liked that movie, and the kids thought it was funny. And so we watched a few minutes of this movie, and it was called Wild. It was about her dealing with her mother's death and dealing with her rampant, erratic, deviant behavior. And it was one of the filthiest movies I've ever seen. This is Reese Witherspoon, and it was unbelievably disgusting. And I could not believe that she actually allowed herself to be in this movie. And just after a few minutes of watching it, we both, to my wife, I looked at my wife and said, I'm not watching this. My wife says, I don't want to watch it either. This is absolutely horrible. And this is the kind of stuff they like to put out. And this is how they've changed the culture of the United States. And this is how they've continued to change all of us as far as the morals in the United States, as far as the nation itself. They also control the same group of people, these Sabbatean Kabbalists, control the pharmaceutical industry. They control Hollywood. They control the international media, most of the media in the United States, that are interlocking corporations and or straight stock purchases. And they have pretty much censored everything they want to censor. And now, to their demise, so to speak, the independent media available on your show and my show at 3 to 4 every day after Doug and John's show on the Global Star, and also immediately following your show tonight, my son and I do a show. It's a repeat of the one we do from 3 to 4. We go into detail on who these guys are and what they're involved in. So, guys, it's some crazy stuff these guys believe. And the sad part about it is they're in charge of the planet. And so it's one of those things. I read a pretty good book yesterday. I don't agree with all of it. It was William Guy Carr's last book he wrote that was unfinished manuscript. And it was called Satan, the Prince of This World. You can get it online for free as a PDF. And again, I don't agree with all of the stuff that he wrote. A lot of it was in his opinion. But it's a really good eye-opener, and it gives you a really good indication of what these guys believe and who they really are. And it goes into the fall of Lucifer from heaven and a lot of other things, which I found interesting on William Guy Carr's take on that. But right now, I want to cover some health stuff with you, if you don't mind, Doug and Joe.
Sure.
Last week, we had a major change in blood pressure announcements. High blood pressure, which for decades has had a top reading of at least 140 or a bottom reading of 90, has now been dropped to 130 over 80 in advice announced Monday by a dozen medical groups, which automatically made another 50 million people having been diagnosed with high blood pressure. Now, the problem with this is that this information now will be reported to the Medical Information Bureau, the MIB, which will tell your insurance companies and your life insurance companies, if you even have a blood pressure of 131 over 81, that you now have high blood pressure and that you need to be on medication. And in some cases, you will not be allowed to be insured with life insurance. So this is a big deal. This is a huge deal. Also, with 50 million more people, they're saying now, that have to be on medicine, who were suddenly healthy one day, another 50 million the next day have to be on drugs, is going to reap billions and billions and hundreds of billions over the years in additional profits. And what they're doing is they forget to tell you about all the horrible side effects of high blood pressure medication. I mean, there's so many of them. It's amazing.
So
some of them are... Yeah.
You're saying that this affects these people's ability to get life insurance,
yeah,
if their cholesterol... was normal,
yes,
one day, not,
yeah,
it's considered high.
Let me just add one thing. In working with Fortune 100 companies, most of them, or many of them, insurance carriers or insurance companies, the MIB is queried. And folks, what Ted is talking about, and I don't mean to interrupt, but you can't drive this home hard enough. This has real life implications today for everyone listening. And I don't care if you're listening to this in the UK, Canada, or the United States. The MIB is this clearinghouse for information that you speak of, and it is queried by the life insurers and reinsurers. So, bottom line here, pay attention to this, because, please, not that you need verification or validation, but this is so key to what it has real life consequences.
Well, and here's the thing. Let's give you an example. I'm 62 years old. I try to go in at least every month to 2 months and have an injection of EDTA into my arteries to help clear out heavy metals and to help reduce the plaquing in the arteries. And we also have that product available online. You know, it's called, you know, chelation therapy, and you take it at night before you go to bed, and it helps to get rid of heavy metals out of the system, and also helps get rid of, you know, calcium plaquing. The EDTA was first developed in Nazi Germany in the 30s when Hitler went on a big shipbuilding crusade, and they were spraying all of the ships with lead paint. And they weren't using masks back then. They didn't think about the masks. And these guys have dropping IQ points like crazy and losing coordination skills because they were coming down with lead poisoning because they were inhaling this stuff. And so what the German scientists did, who were like 100 years ahead of the other scientists and chemists in the world at that point, and I'm not being facetious, that's very real. They were that far ahead. I mean, they're the ones who developed fluorine gas. I mean, they're the ones that, you know, which is sarin gas. We call it, it's also known as fluorine gas. And so what happened is they developed a compound called EDTA, which is an acronym for, this isn't quite right, but it's close. I don't remember the exact name. It's ethylene dietetracetic acid. It's close to it. And what it did is they started injecting this into the arteries of these guys who were the shipbuilders. And what they found out was this, is that the lead poisoning started going away. They started correcting the lead poisoning. It's one of the only approved treatment protocols for heavy metal poisoning. But then something else happened. They started finding these guys who were, some of them were overweight and some of them who smoked and who had relatively bad cardiovascular systems. When they started using this protocol, they started clearing up and they stopped dying of heart attacks and they started living longer. Okay? Because they started cleaning out the arteries. That's how this product was, that's how that product was developed. Now, so I go in every couple of months, I get a shot of this stuff, and I also take the oral capsules. Now, what's interesting about this is I also get a blood pressure test every time I go in for this. My blood pressure usually is between, 110 over 65, 110 over 70, 110 over 58. I mean, it's really, really good. Now, what I do is I take the HGH Stimulate every single day, which really helps to maintain healthy blood pressure. It also acts like a natural Viagra in men. In addition to that, it really helps to maintain lean muscle mass and increase strength in the gym. And it really, really is great because it's a great nitric oxide program. It also helps stimulate the pituitary gland to release human growth hormone. So I take it every single day. And the natural Viagra effect on it is amazing what that does. Because that's the same thing Viagra does. It helps with the release of nitric oxide in the system. But it has, the problem is it gets you too much of this stuff and it can cause blindness and deafness. I mean, this wasn't bad enough that you're having to take Viagra. Now you're blind and deaf and you still have to take Viagra. So it gets as bad as it gets. And I'm not saying it happens every time, but that's one of the side effects that are listed in it. And what was interesting is a few months ago, right before the election, I went in to get my chelation shot, and Dr. Todd Robinson, my physician, my medical doctor who I work with, if I ever need to see a medical doctor, he ended up coming out and talking to me. He was slow that day, and we started talking about politics, and we started talking about Hillary Clinton, and we started talking about, you know, the New World Order, because he's fully awake. He's wide awake. And suddenly the lady comes out, the nurse, and says, I need to check your blood pressure. And I said, do you really want to check my blood pressure right now after I've been talking about Hillary Clinton? Really? Hillary? Hillary. I got to talk about Hillary now. I said, my blood pressure is probably up. And sure enough, they checked my blood pressure, Doug and Joe. It was like 138 over 85. And I started laughing, and I said, well, that's what you get for talking about the Witch of Benghazi. I said, I can't even talk about it without getting ticked off. And I said, the adrenaline causes an increase in blood pressure. And so I said, I tell you what, let me do the chelation shot. Let me relax. It takes about 20 minutes. And I said, you can come check it again. And sure enough, 20 minutes later, it came back, and it was like, you know, 115 over 65 again. See, that's the problem when you go to the doctor and they report to the Medical Information Bureau. Because once they get one, now he doesn't report to it, Dr. Todd doesn't. Dr. Todd doesn't report to it at all, so you don't have to worry about that. The records are kept inside the office because he doesn't accept all the insurance and subsidies and all the other stuff. He only takes cash. Now what's interesting about this is once you get these reports into the Medical Information Bureau, unless you get another report also put into the Medical Information Bureau saying that your blood pressure is down, you now have elevated blood pressure, which means you are a risk from a life insurance standpoint. Now, the reason they're doing all of this, number one, is these actuary tables are showing that we're having a lot of baby boomers that were probably having blood pressure around 138 to 81, which is considered normal until last week. And all of a sudden now they're wanting life insurance, and now they're not wanting to write them life insurance anymore because of the blood pressure problem. And they're also, remember, these same guys own the pharmaceutical corporations. They want to sell more drugs, another 50 million people, another tens of billions build product of income coming to these guys in revenue. And what's funny about all of this stuff, years ago, Doug, I went in, I had life insurance. I've since canceled it because now I'm in my 60s and even term insurance got too expensive. But I locked my life insurance in for 10 years when I turned, I think it was 45 to 55, I had life insurance. And I locked it in and I went to their quote-unquote MIB physician to have a check of my cholesterol. Now, my cholesterol, I like keeping it between 200 and 240. That's where I like keeping it. And one, so when I went in that day, I knew it wouldn't be high. My cholesterol was at 208. Now, that's very low cholesterol. I mean, it's very healthy. I was 45 years old, 208 cholesterol. I don't smoke. I work out all the time. I don't take any prescription drugs. I mean, I'm in great shape. And they denied me health, and they denied me life insurance. They told me that my cholesterol was 9 points. It had to be under 200, that it was 9 points higher than it was supposed to be. And until I went back to one of their MIB physicians and had my cholesterol tested again, they would not allow me to have health insurance, or I'm sorry, life insurance, which blew my mind. And because remember, just until a few years ago, a 250 cholesterol was considered normal. This is what these guys do all the time. Now they want your cholesterol around 100, which is complete nonsense. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So what ended up happening, I laughed at the guy when they told me that. I said, all right, give me 2 weeks. He said, well, your cholesterol can't drop in 2 weeks. I said, they'll drop in 2 weeks. So I went back in, and my cholesterol was like 196. And they immediately gave me the life insurance. I locked it into a 10-year term rate, and I kept it for 10 years, and then I canceled it. And, of course, I never went back into them again. But, see, you don't understand, and Doug just told everybody so succinctly, when you get turned into this MIB, this Medical Information Bureau, it's like the Gestapo in the medical field and the insurance markets. It tells it basically is a clearinghouse, like Doug said, for information. And they will deny you insurance, deny you health insurance, deny you life insurance, deny you almost everything if they want, if you have bad reports with the MIB. What do you think, Doug?
I'm going to tell you right now, it's the kiss of death. It's like CPS, the Child Protective Services. You get them called once on you, it's pretty much a full-time job to get them out of your life. But this, as you said, if you take a couple in their 20s or 30s or whatever, and they've got some financial exposure that they would like covered by life insurance, and this is what's happening, and you get rated, or you get something like hypertension on the MIB. Well, you might be able to get life insurance to cover your exposure, but it'll be at a very high premium, or a rated premium, if they take you at all. And this is also in key man insurance for corporations. It's Nazi, in my view anyway, behavior. You know, so you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I've got another friend of mine who's got a big mega church, and he has like a $10 million mortgage. And he went and got his cholesterol tested, and it was like 205. And they canceled his life insurance. They canceled it. And the bank went nuts because he had a $10 million policy to cover the nut in the event he died. He's the primary. And so he had to go in and basically, you know, work with other insurance companies and carriers, because it wasn't like, I mean, he was like I was, like 207, 210, a few points above high where he's supposed to be. And he had gone to one of these quote-unquote longevity clinics, and they'd put him on a testosterone supplement, which caused all kinds of erratic, nightmarish behavior in his hormonal system, which you should never do. There's all kinds of things you could do to elevate testosterone without getting testosterone injections. And since he has since come off of those, but they caused all kinds of problems, including getting his life insurance canceled, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it was a real mess. By the way, real quick, I'm going to cover a couple other health stories, and I want to go back to the nutrition stuff. Secret Code now is recording every keystroke you make on more than 400 of the most popular websites on the Internet. This is an article by Michael Schneider. If someone secretly installed software on your computer that recorded every single keystroke that you made, you'd be alarmed. Of course you would be. You know, that's essentially what's happening on more than 400 of the world's most popular websites. Guys, be very, very careful with what you go to and what you do, because a study published last week reported that 482 of the 50,000 most trafficked sites employ such scripts with usually no clear disclosure. And they basically keep record of everything from marketing and for letting you, just basically spying on you. Also, Doug, and I'd say this with great sadness, Jana Beck, another autism researcher, was found dead. 2 weeks ago, we had another one that was killed, and I reported on that with you guys. And now another one has been killed. She was found dead last weekend on or around the November the 17th outside her Oregon motel room. She was doing specials that were called Unlocking Autism, and she was linking this back to lifestyle choices, etc. And now she's also dead. That's like 80 people now that have been killed in the last few years. One more. Let's start with health stuff now. These guys. Oh, real quick. Some of the other side effects of blood pressure medicine, including cough, diarrhea, constipation, dizziness, lightheadedness, erection problems, feeling nervous, feeling tired, weak, or drowsy, lack of energy, headaches, nausea, vomiting, skin rash, impotence, weight loss, or gain without trying. Now, I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to talk about the impotence. One of the primary reasons that healthcare is pushing so many drugs now that cause impotence is eugenics. They don't want people in the United States reproducing. We have 100 million people nation globally that are reproducing every single year. We have 100 million growth, 100 million population growth on the planet every year. They're trying to stop that. They can't seem to find a way to do that in sub-Saharan Africa and other countries like India and China. So now what they're doing is they're trying to reduce the population in our country. And so we have this huge amount of people now that are being told another 50 million, which makes about half the people in the United States now on blood pressure medicine, which is a major problem with impotency and also in reproductive cycles. And so you've got a major issue here going on with eugenics. Again, this is that Rockefeller-based medical model in which eugenics is at the forefront of trying to stop the population growth. And the sad part about it is, Doug, the United States, as far as the white indigenous population that was here along with the, you know, and the blacks that were here brought in, you know, back in, you know, during the slavery times and also from the immigration. You know, we really haven't had a massive population growth except for immigration in the last 30 years. I mean, it's what it is. The sad part about it is we've had another 100 million come into the country now primarily through illegal and, you know, sustained immigration into the U.S. until now we're losing our cultural identity. We're committing cultural genocide in the United States. And now they're continuing to do everything they can to reduce our population even more and more and more until they get rid of all of the Americans because they don't want to make the same mistake they did, you know, in the war of 1776 with the war of 1812 and also with the Civil War. There were too many people who knew what tyranny was, even in the Civil War, whose grandfathers and great-grandfathers had been alive and told them what had happened, you know, with the 1776 war. And then in 1865, the South had enough of 1861, and we had got ourselves into, you know, into world, you know, into the Civil War. So they're trying to get as many people away from the people who fought World War II as they possibly can with the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of those folks. And they're doing everything they can to stop the basically the prodigy, the progeny of those people from reproducing. And so you see it over and over again. By the way, now new studies have shown that weights are better for you than cardio for longevity, and they also cause a lot less joint problems. New study finds pumping iron at least twice a week reduces the risk of cancer and increases life expectancy by up to 30%. I do this 6 days a week. And now the thing about working out, and this is so important that everybody gets this, is that working out is consistency. If you work out once or twice a month and quit for 2 or 3 months, it doesn't do anything. All you do is get really wicked sore for a couple of days and you're miserable. If you work out 20 minutes to 30 minutes, 4 to 6 days a week, you can get really in good shape. I told my son Harrison tonight, or last night, I said, you know, because, you know, he's wearing coat and ties now and all this crazy stuff. So he's going to go to law school at the age of 18. And I told him, I said, Harrison, I said, what you need to do is just to fill out a little bit more, you can do a chest workout. I'll show you a chest workout that takes 12 to 15 minutes twice a week. That's all it takes. So if you work out 15 minutes twice a week, and what you do is 4 sets of incline presses with 12 to 15 reps with about 30 seconds rest between the inclines, doing every rep to failure as far as when you get to number 15, and superset that with flies, flat bench flies, with supersetting it with dips. And I said, if you just do those 3 exercises, and it takes about 12 to 15 minutes twice a week, you know, you'll really fill out and, you know, become more, you know, like an alpha male because you're so young going off to graduate school. And see, it doesn't take that much, Doug and Joe, to work out, but it has to be consistent. Consistent effort over a long time in working out gives you consistent results. The running and all the cardio that people do is okay, but it's very difficult for the joints, especially the pounding. I've got a good friend of mine. His name is Steve. He lives down in Miami, actually in Fort Lauderdale, and he and I actually lived in a scholarship house together in Tallahassee back in the 70s at Florida State University. And he basically wrecked his knees and wrecked his back by running. And he loves running. But he'll tell you right now that it was the running that did it to him. See, the running causes all these problems from a joint standpoint. Cardiovascular exercise can be achieved very easily through circuit training, which means you work out very quickly. In fact, when I was in the graduate program at Florida State, I was taking a graduate class in exercise physiology. They told us that you could achieve a physiological training effect on the heart by just working your heart 3 times a week for about 7 minutes. That's it, Doug and Joe. 7 minutes three times a week. Wow. So all you had to do from a cardiovascular standpoint, your heart's a pretty strong muscle, and it maintains really good muscle memory. And so the cardiac muscle is different than all the other types of muscles in the body, and it's very, very strong. And so you don't have to train it that hard, and so you can get a really good cardiovascular effect 7 minutes three times a week. So you don't have to. So and if you circuit train, do one set after another set after another set, like you do one set of at one. Like when you do the flies and dips on the chest exercise, do the dips, then do the flies, do the dips, do the flies, do the dips, do the flies, with no rest between sets. And what happens is you build the muscle much more quickly because you're using both slow and fast twitch muscle fiber, and your heart's pounding really good. So don't try this workout. It's very advanced if you're not used to working out. But if you go ahead and do something that gets your heart rate going while you're doing weight training, you don't have to do cardiovascular exercise. You get the same effect without having to have the joint damage. That's very important. Oh, another study just came out and agreed with Gerson's cancer therapy, and I've covered this years ago with you guys, and I want to say it again, that vitamin C puts the brakes on leukemia. In fact, Gerson therapy back in the 1920s said that vitamin C was one of the ways you could treat leukemia without having to use any other types of drugs. And vitamin C and cancer-fighting properties have long been known since the research was done with Linus Pauling. Now, another article that I saw this week, it said that fat-shaming children is not effective. And I want to cover that tonight. It's true, it's not. If you're telling a kid how disgusting he is and how fat he is and all this other kind of stuff, and he's 7, 8 years old, he's not going to get that. You know, now they're saying that telling people they need to basically do calorie counting if they're basically in college to help lose weight, they're calling that fat shaming because the slow snowflakes can't handle being told anything as far as what they don't want to do. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I've learned with kids as far as helping them to stay lean and thin and in great shape as they develop. Number one, the child does not go out and buy junk food and come home and eat it when they're 6 and 7 and 8 years old and they start gaining weight. That is the parents or the grandparents or the caregiver's responsibility. I've seen it over and over and over again. I have another friend of mine who has a church, and he basically had a daughter who was being raised by a caregiver because his wife and him were working so much. And every time the caregiver came over there, she's like a nanny, she'd bake 2 dozen cookies, like, you know, and fudge brownies and everything else. And this little kid started getting really heavy. I mean, fast. I mean, she's 8 or 9 years old. And I told him, I said, I told my friend, I said, look, I said, here's the deal. Her health and her body weight right now is your responsibility. It's not the nanny's. And I said, you really need to put a stop to this. I said, because if you don't, she's going to have to fight these fat cells all of her life. And now the girl's like 14, 15 years old. And sure enough, she's probably 20 or 30 pounds overweight. And she's still fighting those same fat cells. And I feel bad for her because this started when she was young. So yelling at the kids and screaming at the kids because they're overweight doesn't do any good. You've got to have the food in the house that makes the kids healthy. Let me give you an example. If the child is gaining weight and they're eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every single day when they get home from school and they're overweight, why don't you not buy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches anymore and start buying some fruit and start buying some lean meats and lean foods and to let them eat healthy stuff at home? And you say, well, they don't want to eat lean meals or eat fruit or whatever. Well, that's good. Just if that's all they have, they'll quickly lose weight if they don't want to eat anyhow and until they learn to eat right. Because, guys, the Bible says that we're supposed to, you know, train up our children in the way they should go. And that means in all areas of their life. That includes their diet, and that also includes their spiritual growth and spiritual development. If we allow our kids to do whatever they want to do and go the way they want to go, then when they get older, they'll not depart from that either. They'll continue to do the things they shouldn't be doing as far as from a health standpoint. And so it's so important that we teach our kids to eat clean. We don't want to fat shame them because, again, that doesn't work. Just if your kids are starting to get a little overweight, simply take the food away. Don't buy it for them anymore, and let them deal with eating healthy foods. I know years ago, it's a relative, so I'm not going to mention the name, and they basically had a child who was like 8 years old who got about 30, 40 pounds overweight. And I told them, I said, you really need to cut back on that because that's going to really start affecting that little boy's self-esteem. And they got mad. I mean, they got mad at me. I mean, just got livid mad. And the mother was Hispanic. And she just wouldn't talk to me, Doug and Joe. I mean, she got so angry that I said that to her. And I was just trying to help because I knew her husband very well. It was a relative. And so I said, okay, whatever. You guys do what you need to do. Well, by the time that kid was 13 years old, he's 150 pounds overweight. I mean, he's probably 350. I mean, he was like 6'1", like 350. He was huge. And it massively affected his self-esteem, which led him to hang out with the wrong kids who accepted him, who were also strange. They were in the theater program there at the school he attended. And before long, he's on drugs. And it just snowballed. It never got better. It got worse and worse and worse and worse. And he met a premature death at a very young age because of that. Now, are you saying it's all because he's overweight? No, but that's how these things start, Doug and Joe. We've got to think through how these children are going to be affected by what we allow them to do. If you allow your kids to hang out with kids who take drugs, there's a high chance, a high probability your kids are going to start taking drugs. If you allow your kids to start hanging out with kids who smoke cigarettes, there's a high probability those kids are going to start smoking cigarettes. If you have kids, if you want your kids to hang out with kids that are watching porn, chances are these kids are going to start watching porn too. And see, it's so important that you know your children's friends and you know your children's lifestyle and habits so you can help monitor those things and help keep them on the right track. Does that make sense to you guys?
Absolutely, it does, Ted. And like you said about the exercise, you know, it just what you laid out earlier, it does not take much. Even, you know, this is on the higher side, but 30 minutes, you know, a day. If you're walking, if you're, you know, lifting weights and doing these things can have a huge impact on your physical health and your overall health. But even doing other things for less time also can help as well. Anything in today's day and age can help. And I saw studies out of Europe, and I think we mentioned this or talked about this last time you were on, that showed, I think it was over 85 or 90% of people under 40 have, you know, less than 15 minutes of outside time or activity time a day. And it's crazy to think about that. You know, when we were kids, we were outside constantly all the time. But these generations with all the technology, the games, the computers seem to be keeping themselves, you know, locked inside and are not getting outside, not getting the activity that everybody else had when they were children. And it is definitely having an effect on the health of the population.
Well, you know, when we were kids, we used to go out and play flag football all the time. Or we'd go out and play full sandlot tackle football, which I don't really recommend because I'm still carrying scars from that. You know, when you land on a rock with somebody on top of you without any pads, the rock has a tendency to penetrate, you know. And so it's just one of those deals that you kind of just realize that the children today, like my 14-year-old, she doesn't have a phone. No phone. My 17-year-old, she'll be 17 this month, she didn't have a phone. Now, my 18-year-old, when he started college, when he was 15 and 16, he had to have a phone in order to be able to communicate with us as far as when we were driving him back and forth to get picked up and that kind of stuff. So we got him a phone. But he's just been an anomaly. I mean, he's the valedictorian from the collegiate high school class, and he's just one of those kids. And he's just been phenomenal. Now he's starting law school. He's going to graduate with his bachelor's degree at 18 and start, you know, he'll turn 19 after he graduates, and then he'll start law school in the fall, and he's going to do a combined law MBA program. And then he wants to probably get a PhD in communication after he finishes that doctorate and his JD, and wants to be a college professor, and he wants to be at a Christian university because we've raised him that way. So anyhow, but it's just train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old enough, depart from it. Now, you're always going to get these little brats that don't want to listen, because I've had a few of those too. And guys, you just got to keep working with them. And, you know, like, you know, sometimes you may have to send them to a private school or another place to stay for a bit until you can figure out what to do with them if they don't want to listen to you at all. But guys, the whole key is you got to teach them to pray every day, eat clean, and do what's right in God's eyes. And most of the time, they'll come through it. Well, by the way, the statin scam, this is an interesting article. People with higher cholesterol live longer than people with low cholesterol. You know, this completely goes and it falls and it just throws us in the face of what's happening. And let me give you a summary of this. Here's the thing. When you have high cholesterol, you actually lower your risks of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. When your cholesterol drops under 200, all disease rates go up, including your risk of cancer, which goes through the roof. So that's why they're doing this. They're trying to reduce the population. And then here's another interesting article. This is how low cholesterol can actually harm your health. Cholesterol is needed to prevent aggression. It's needed to produce testosterone. It's needed to fight cancer. It's needed to help prevent hemorrhagic stroke. It's needed for memory, it's needed for longevity, and it's needed to help prevent infection. But guys, there's over 300 health problems that have been linked to statin drugs. I mean, there have been books out there, you know, Death by Statins. In fact, in my last book that I did, Breakthrough Health, I listed like 100 different side effects that were being caused by statin drugs and why you need to avoid them. Statins are basically the greatest medical fraud of all time. This is another study that just came out. It says a new study clarifies that statins are the greatest medical fraud of all time. The claims made for them are false. The amount of harm they do is staggering, resulting in millions of lives devastated and ended. The worst part of all, though, is that it was entirely predictable, but studies were designed to hide the truth. the media, the health agencies, and the doctors all provided cover for Big Pharma. After all, that was the money that had to be made. Guys, this is crazy. This is a $20 billion industry with statin drugs. They cause brain fog because they lower your cholesterol too low. Cholesterol is critical for immunity, fat metabolism, thyroid hormone activity, liver synthesis, stress intolerance, testosterone production. Energy levels will be reduced if you lower cholesterol. There'll be interference with fat metabolism. The thyroid might not be able to function properly. And what it does that really blows my mind more than anything else, guys, it causes calcium to build up in the arteries. It causes atherosclerotic plaque, and statins are a primary cause of that, which is the exact reason you're taking them so that doesn't happen. In addition to that, out of a study of 10,000 individuals who were taking statins, there were an extra 307 of them had cataracts. 23 of them had kidney failure, 74 patients developed liver dysfunction, and statins increased muscle fatigue by up to 30% and caused an 11.3 incident of rhabdomyolysis at higher dosages. They also state what's more, it induces inflammatory myopathy, including it does a bunch of really bad stuff. I'll get away from the medical terms. Statins induce full-blown type 2 diabetes in women. It can. Statins increase the risk of developing different types of diabetes. It also causes insulin resistance, and a correlation between Parkinson's disease and low cholesterol exists, which clearly implicates statins. I know so many people, guys, that were healthy, and then they started taking statin drugs, and they started having all kinds of health problems, Doug and Joe, and their brains went to mush. I'm talking mush, couldn't think, couldn't do anything any longer until they got back off the statin drugs, including the skeletal muscle necrosis, which can cause permanent kidney failure, which means that you have to start having real bad muscle pain, and that's because your muscles are dying, and they start rotting, they can get into your bloodstream, they can plug up your kidneys, and you die from kidney failure. I mean, this is a crazy product that should never have been used by anyone, and it should be pulled off the market because it is so dangerous. Look at kratom. Kratom is a natural herb that's used for opiate addiction to get off to, as it helps people come off opiate addiction with, through withdrawal of opiates. Now the FDA, Gottlieb, and I warned you guys about this, Gottlieb wants to take kratom off the market. Right now he wants to take kratom off the market because he's saying that kratom was linked to 15 deaths last year, and upon research looking at the deaths, none of them were related to kratom, and all the people that died were on other drugs, including other opiates, when they did die. And it wasn't the kratom that killed them. And the sad part about this is I warned everybody months and months ago when Gottlieb was put as head of the FDA that he was going to do stuff like this. Because remember, the Food and Drug Administration is being controlled through the revolving door policy by big pharma and corporations. We've known that for many, many years. In fact, 60 Minutes actually did a show on this back in the 90s when it was talking about the aspartame problem with brain tumors and brain cancers and seizures and headaches and optic nerve degradation, and how so many people from big pharma were going back to the FDA and then vice versa, back from the FDA back to big pharma, getting their drugs approved. I mean, it's a vicious cycle, and it should be stopped. It should be made illegal. And what's crazy about all of this stuff is that when we find these drugs causing all of these side effects, we don't stop taking the drugs, and the drugs aren't pulled back off the market. Now, kratom, on the other hand, it's not a drug. It's a plant. It helps to alleviate the symptoms of withdrawals of opiates. They don't want a natural protocol to have opiate withdrawal less severe in the United States. Why is that? Well, there are about 1.5 trillion reasons for that every single year, with the amount of heroin that's coming into the United States and pharmaceutical pills that are being sold on the black market that massively increase the black ops money through the Exchange Stability Fund for the CIA and these other nefarious groups to launder cash through large international banks. This is what's going on, guys, and we have to understand that they don't want people using a natural herb to come off of opiates. They have a huge percent of the population of the United States now who are addicted to opiates and can't go to work anymore, can't function. They call in sick or don't even call in at all because they're addicted to these drugs. And we have heroin problems all over the United States now. In fact, my brother-in-law, Todd, who's Sharon's half-brother, died of a heroin overdose 2 years ago in Orlando on Colonial Highway. That's called Heroin Highway by the investigator that I talked to, because he said the Afghan heroin is so pure that it's coming out of Afghanistan, and they're not realizing that it's not been cut, and they're injecting it and they're dying. And last year they produced about 4,700 metric tons. Now they've doubled the opiate production fields, almost 1,000 square miles in production right now, and they're up to 10,000 metric tons. And this past week, our military bombed some heroin that were folks that were manufacturing heroin, I guess they didn't have the proper CIA protocol to do it, so they bombed a few of the smaller labs who were cutting into their market share with 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs to shut down the production for these other folks that weren't involved with the drug running into the United States. Ask yourself a question, guys. This is so important. If we're in Afghanistan and we control the land there, which we do with our troops, and we've massively increased troop concentrations in Afghanistan, we really don't know how many troops are even there. We know we've increased them. It could be 15,000. It could be 50,000. We don't know. If the troops that I have that I know that are over there are sending me pictures of driving through the poppy fields and they're told not to touch the poppies, and then we have processing plants in Afghanistan producing heroin and shipping it on C-130 transport planes back into the U.S. and all around the world, why isn't our government, Donald Trump, who I'm talking to right now, involved in stopping this? Why? Because in 1933, through the Exchange Stability Fund by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he seized the gold in 32, he basically set up this fund that allowed this international banking cartel, the Rothschild Group, to come in and take control of the Treasury of the United States, but he had to be able to fund special operations. There's a group of videos you can watch online on the Exchange Stability Fund, and it talks about how the Treasury was compromised by this group of people and how one of the ways they fund themselves now with their black operations is through the importation of heroin into the United States. This is what's going on right now. Because why in the world would Trump not go in, take some of the, since we love to spray glyphosate on everything, which is Roundup, why don't we put some C-130 tanker planes, which they have those planes, and load them full of glyphosate if they want to go ahead and spray Afghanistan with glyphosate, and go ahead and fly over this 1,000 square miles of poppy fields, Doug and Joe, and stop all heroin production in Afghanistan immediately. Oh, I can tell you why. Because they won't have their funding for their black ops any longer, and this is one of the primary reasons that 9/11 happened, because Afghan opium production had almost been completely shut down by the Taliban, and they needed to restore the production facilities over there. That's what's going on, guys. If you read that book, Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia, in fact, a few months ago, I hosted your show for you, Doug and Joe, and Paul Williams is one of my guests, and he goes into detail on that particular podcast if you guys want to go back and listen to it. But that's what's going on right now, guys. That's why Kratom is coming off the market, and that's why the opium has gone through the ceiling as far as usage in the United States, guys. What do you think?
Well, last year, about a year ago, we saw, I think it was either the FDA try to ban Kratom, and they got an enormous pushback from the public.
Well, yeah, 15 deaths, though. My goodness, we gotta stop it. We gotta stop it. 15 people.
I read those studies, and Ted is right. None of those deaths are actually linked to Kratom, and there are other circumstances surrounding those deaths, but they're trying to use it to get the product banned. Ted, we're right up against the break. We'll be right back with Dr. Ted Brewer of HealthMasters.com after this short break. Don't go anywhere.